This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Unprecedented situation demand unprecedented action. At a time when COVID-19 has literally brought the country to a standstill, domestic startups are trying their best to innovate and survive the crisis. But the question is, how will they manage to reacquire the lost market share at a time when the consumer pattern and the way businesses were done is about to change completely? Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai, special correspondent, and you are tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast that dives through the changing landscape of the entrepreneurship ecosystem and the challenges within. Hospitality, travel and tourism as a sector, I would say, have been hit the hardest by COVID-19. And therefore, today I have with me Ritesh Agarwal, founder and chief executive of hospitality firm Oyo, to discuss how and what all is Oyo doing to ensure that his business survives this crisis and comes out with flying colors. Hi, Ritesh. Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you so much, Priyanka, for having me here. As you know, I have always been, right from the very early days, a subscriber of your podcast. So I am really looking forward to this session. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. It's indeed a pleasure, Ritesh. And on that note, I would like to begin the conversation by asking you, that entrepreneurs these days are doing every bit required to sustain themselves in this market. We all know that. Survival is also being regarded as a new growth in the current time. If you survive this period, you are there for the long run. Now, what are the key initiatives that Oyo is taking to ensure all of this?
Sure. Look, I think clearly, like you laid out, in this new generation now, clearly survival is the new growth. I am in full agreement with that. I think in early part of the year, when we first saw that COVID was impacting some of the parts of Asia-Pacific region, I think our immediate reaction was to make sure that how do we take care of our employees? I am thankful that most of Oyo employees who got impacted by the virus worldwide got recovered, although a few of them still remain, but I'm confident that they will also recover, as I have shared in some of my discussions earlier. We followed with our consumers, partners, and ensuring safety is enabled there. We reduced all the controllable expenditures, like that of, think about forward-looking capital expenditures, marketing investments, and various things. Unfortunately, we realized that this was going to continue to be a long-term impact and challenge, due to which our company had to unfortunately also do some of the furloughs globally, and in some countries where it was not possible to continue doing furloughs for a long time, also some restructuring. I announced this in the mid part of April. We worked with our Oyopreneurs and enabled them as much benefits as we could. But as I have mentioned earlier, it was one bad choice over another, and we had to choose the least bad choice. Post all of those, I think our company was able to be at a place where we felt like we had the right systems and processes in place to be able to see through the crisis. And in that period, we've also tried to make sure that we continue engaging with as many of our team members, both impacted and the ones here, on a regular basis as much as possible. So Those are some of the initiatives that the company has taken in the perspective of how do we ensure that we respond to the COVID crisis and the unique challenge it has in front of us, which none of us prepared for. But now that it is in front of us, we need to make sure that we respond to it.
Oyo has been having on and off rough phases with multiple partner hotels. Many of them have accused Oyo of increasing incentives. Some competitors have been accusing the brand of getting into anti-competitive pricings. Can you comment on some of these issues? And do you think that being in the current situation, you are sitting at an opportunity because you will be able to provide an umbrella to the otherwise non-branded hotels who will find it all the more difficult to get customers right now?
So first off, thank you so much for your question, Priyanka. As you can imagine, we are very, very thankful that in the last 5 to 6 years, we've had the good opportunity to work with a large amount of Oyo partners and have earned their trust and partnership. Over time, 43,000 plus hotel partners and 50,000 plus additional homeowners have joined the Oyo ecosystem for being able to create value. And in the fiscal year 2019, we transmitted close to $1 billion to our partners. And in the fiscal year 20, we hope to do a lot more than that, which we will announce in the times to come. Our partners come to us due to three primary reasons. Number one, they expect more business. OYO has provided its partners with at least 30 to 40% jump in occupancy across the world on an average when partners join us through its own and third-party channels. Second, our partners join us to receive technology which helps them improve on their underlying asset efficiency of check-in, check-out, and various systems like those. And our partners join us for a brand that their consumers and the people in the neighborhood respect and lead to more consumers wanting to come into the underlying premises. As a part of which, we have seen that while we have been able to enable all these three key priorities for our partners, there were two important areas of opportunity which we started investing a lot of effort since Q4 of 2020. One of the things that we have seen as being one of the feedbacks that our partners have provided us has been specifically in the area of policy and policy changes. Typically, most of the online companies who have large number of partners like OYO has, in India alone, we have 19,000 plus partners. They share their policy with a certain timing with their partners in the form of digital methods like emails and messages. OYO has tried to do the same. But in the process, we have found out that some percentage of our partners are not able to access these mediums. And if they're able to access, they do not fully understand or have an expectation of being able to speak to us or our team members directly. Due to that, we've set up a SAM program. These are account managers who work with our partners directly. And the second area that you have that you pointed out as well as a challenge has been a lot of our partners, which may be 3 or 4% of our partners, may have a view in terms of the pricing. Specifically there, the view of RevPAR versus ARR is critical. In the hospitality industry, RevPAR is equal to occupancy percentage multiplied by ARR, which means, would you rather be a 3,000 rupees ARR at 20% occupancy percentage leading to 600 rupee RevPAR hotel versus that of 1,000 rupee ARR at 80% occupancy, which is an 800 rupee RevPAR? OYO's dynamic pricing algorithms enable best outcome for customers by bringing them attractive prices, but at the same time, higher RevPARs rather than ARRs, which is also why a lot of our partners also get additional revenue in the form of food and beverage, parking facilities, and various things around it. This is something that a large number of partners understand for OYO. I would say upwards of 90% for OYO India specifically, which is pointed by a fact that all of those partners receive 44% jump in RevPAR, 55% jump in occupancy, and 10% lower ARR. The 10% lower ARR is still fine because they are able to generate a 44% jump in RevPAR. OYO has tried to ensure that it works with its partners to explain this. In summary, what I want to share, Priyanka, is that OYO sees this period as a great opportunity to do three things. Number one, over the last 3.5-4 months, we have invested significant amount of OYO's time to be able to build deeper bridges with its partners and build stronger relationships with them. This has been enabled through tens of global level town halls or multi-geography level town halls, lots of one-on-one interactions, including I and a lot of my leaders, including my CEO Rohit, who I know you interviewed, and use this as a period to build deep relationships and bridges with our partners. We believe this is the time more than ever before we can engage with our partners and build deeper relationships with them, and large number of our partners appreciate it. Number two, we see this as a period where small hotel owners, OYO was started with the principle of saying small asset partners cannot generate enough occupancy and yield and hence are not sustainable. OYO will come in and make them sustainable. Hence, now more than ever before, our partners need us, which is demonstrated by the fact that in the last 2 months, we have signed upwards of 84,000 rooms across the globe. And number three, and the last point, is a view of saying that we believe this has also given us the time to ensure that we continuously improve on our internal technologies and products, which are already world-leading, but in various geographies across the world, we had opportunities to make significant improvements, and we have been very focused on that. So that's the broad perspective on the supply side, Priyanka.
Okay, that's quite comprehensive, I must say, Ritesh. And on the same lines, I heard you saying that if an average occupancy increases, it always is going to benefit any of the hotel owners. But on the same lines, are you in a position to give us some numbers on what is the average occupancies across OYO hotels that the company claims of as of now?
So I think we have not shared our post-COVID results. I had shared that our revenues fell by around 50% in April. We saw April as being one of the toughest months. And since then, we have been seeing slow but definitive recovery. But what I can share with you is if you look at STR's results, STR is the industry data source for the market, you will know that in the economy segment that OYO operates across the world, we are lucky that and blessed that our consumers have continued to trust the OYO brand, and we have higher occupancies than our benchmark industry results in most parts of the world, or probably in every part of the world, than that of the market through the COVID times.
Okay. Also, Ritesh, something very interesting is that you as a founder, everyone knows your name. And I see that across multiple complaints that come on the social media websites, whether it is Twitter or Facebook, you are often tagged in most of the complaints that consumers or hotel owners or any of these people post. Do you get time to read all these messages and initiate actions, or is it more like your team does more of those groundworks?
So first off, I'm very thankful for the appreciation as well as critical feedback we always receive. Over the last few years, Priyanka, like you know, I feel that we are still just hotel operators, whereas people have given us a lot more love than that. So I'm very thankful for it on social media and otherwise. The second bit is I think our consumers share both appreciation and critical feedback by tagging me directly. Yesterday, I received a video from three of our customers who were staying at Ahmedabad Hotel of OYO, where we are serving some of the doctors who are staying with us. And they made beautiful greeting cards for us to share how thankful they were. And they shared a video of it. That, and at the same time, yesterday, I received a complaint of a customer who said that, Ritesh, I'm in a hotel, I have checked in, but my food is taking longer than I thought it would. It's already been 20 minutes since I've been waiting for my food to come to my room. So I think I'm very thankful for both of it, because consumers trust that if they share any challenges with us, we will take and do the right thing to be able to improve the service and provide them the best outcome. Specific to your question, I think on social media, every day I get messages from a lot of people, right, from people writing for coming to events, from people saying that I want to join OYO, for people saying, there's my hotel, can I sign up with OYO, people sharing critical feedback, people sharing appreciation. So I don't get the opportunity to read all of them. I try as much as I can. But at the same time, you know, our teams ensure that each one of those things are taken into deep consideration. However, I have written emails to all my customers and partners various times, and I can assure you every consumer complaint or consumer appreciation that comes to me on email, I personally read all of them and try to do the best in order to serve them. One of the things that you will find internally when you speak to our consumer service teams is, you know, there is an internal organization which I call as Red Alerts, which is where I personally call and review the details of the situation of what had really happened and what things are we doing to ensure that the same challenge never comes back again. I will share an interesting example of that. Last year, one of the consumers said it's been 12 days since he was waiting for refund, even though in the email trail he forwarded to me that the refund commitment had already received. So I forwarded that to my team and I said in 24 hours we will review where is the situation with the client. I found out that the issue was because the consumer had paid in cash at the hotel, and when the consumers pay by cash, for us to be able to refund, there is a cumbersome process of receiving the bank account, being able to add it on IMPS and then wiring the money. We changed it into an automated, fully transparent system on the OYO app as a part of that learning. So I have always enjoyed learning from all of those places. We of course feel terrible if there is any consumer challenge, but it is probably because of this focus that our teams have that in India we have 92% revenue from repeat and word of mouth customers.
92% repeat, that's quite a huge number, I must say. And last we heard, Ritesh, OYO had opened up 70% of hotels in China. As part of the unlock initiatives, you've started opening up hotels in India as well, apart from, of course, some of the other markets across the globe. How's the business sentiment in India currently as compared to some of your foreign markets, if you could take us through that?
Sure. Look, I think this is, again, a very unique time where each country, right from the healthcare situation and the economic situation, has been operating slightly differently. So let me take a stab at that. As you mentioned, the Unlock initiative of India is a trend that we are starting to see in every part of the world. OYO is thankfully a global company wherein we get to see consumer sentiment and trends across the world. Before I give you market-wise results, let me share some of the macro perspectives that we are seeing. The first one, in Hindi, I always say, ye mahamari hi nahi, ye mandi bhi hai, which means this is not just a pandemic, this is also a recession, due to which I'm seeing there is a strong movement towards the economy segment. Recent STR data would point towards saying that economy hotels recovery is many fold stronger than that of the recovery of upmarket hotels at all. The second thing that we are seeing is that small hotels and vacation homes are getting more upside than larger hotels, because small hotels have split air conditioners versus that of central air conditioners. Small hotels have higher distances between, you know, and the lower number of density of people in one place and various things like this. Number three, OYO's brand in the mid and economy segment ensures that consumers trust us a lot. And fourth, OYO has a large amount of local demand. For instance, in India, 65% of our business is same state in nature. These four things are critical to understand some of the outcomes that we're seeing across the globe. There is slow but steady improvement in demand we're seeing everywhere, like Europe, broader Asia-Pacific region, including Southeast Asia, India, US, with travel resuming and summer vacations being at its absolute peak. Even in India, we are seeing that consumers are starting to travel back, especially in some of the urban cities like Gurugram, Noida, Bengaluru, Kolkata, Hyderabad. And at this point of time, majority of the bookings are being made by small and medium businesses, corporates, as well as young millennials.
All right. And do we have any vision on by when do you expect the business to come back to the pre-COVID level, especially in India?
Sure, Priyanka. I think that's probably one of the questions that we think a lot about. But I can tell you nobody, including me, has a clear answer to it, because things are changing literally by the month. Our job is to constantly look at results and respond to them. India clearly looks like as a market where consumer resilience is very strong, partner resilience is very strong, but as you know, the cases and the infections are still on the rise. So we will need to continuously look at what time it will take in terms of the infection rates and their recovery rates. I am very confident that that is what it will link to in terms of the time of recovery. So sorry, I don't have a direct answer for you, but I believe that it will take longer than a lot of people may think it would. But if it happens sooner, then we would all be very happy about it.
Okay. You know, Ritesh, also one of your key investors, SoftBank, is often being quoted these days across media organizations around its strategy to invest, especially now when more than half of its capital is in startups. And these are those startups that are struggling due to the impact on the business of the pandemic. Now, can you comment as to what happens when an investor makes a decision, and when that decision gets impacted by some of the other situations in the market? How does that work?
Sure. As you know, first off, we are very thankful to have an investor like SoftBank Vision Fund, as well as a broader list of investors like Sequoia Capital, Airbnb, Lightspeed Ventures, and various high-quality global firms as a part of our shareholder group. OYO has always been, and I will come specifically to your perspective, but OYO has always been a board-governed company, and now more than ever before. As you know, we recently brought in strong board members like Dr. Albright, Troy, who's earlier CEO of Starbucks, Jerry, as Betsy Atkins, and various other high-quality leaders like them. It's hard for me to comment on behalf of SoftBank Vision Fund, but as from what I read in the newspapers, SoftBank Vision Fund also has various companies which are actually benefiting from the COVID. For instance, food delivery in various Western markets have seen significant amount of jump in business, for which, for instance, in my view, DoorDash would be seeing significant amount of improvement in its underlying business. For OYO specifically, its relationship with SoftBank Investment Advisors is driven by Munish Verma, who's on the board of OYO Hotels and Homes. We've seen that we get a lot of learnings from SoftBank Vision Fund's board members, but at the same time, we receive similar perspective from board members from Lightspeed, Sequoia, as well as various of our independent and non-executive board members. From a business perspective, as you know, while COVID has definitely impacted our business quite a bit, in our fiscal year ended 2019, our revenue not only grew very substantially by around 4.5x, you may have also noticed that our PAT or losses improved from minus 24% to minus 14%. We hope that our consistent delivery and improved delivery to our consumers and our partners after the COVID crisis will ensure that we continue improving on these results in fiscal 21 and then beyond that as well.
Okay. While I understand that there are dedicated people who sit on the board of your company from across all the investors that you have on board, or which stands true for SoftBank as well, but I would like to know from you, Ritesh, given that Masa has been very vocal about your achievements, the success of OYO in the global market, so I would like to take the opportunity to ask you, how often do you get to interact with Masa Yoshikong, and what is the conversation like? Also, after the pandemic, has there been a conversation, and has he like tried to address the concerns of entrepreneurs? What has it been like?
First off, here at OYO, we really appreciate Son San's kind words. It inspires all our OYOpreneurs every day for the efforts that we put in to get the appreciation and support. The second bit is the view around how do we think about the support and advice from Son San. I think we get limited time with Son San given he has a large global business to be able to oversee. And at the same time, the SoftBank Vision Fund executives are able to support us on a regular basis. But in any time I have gotten to present to Son San or meet him, I always have gotten the opportunity to learn more. I think specific to the pandemic, the broader suggestion for most of the key shareholders of OYO, including our SoftBank Vision Fund on our board, has been very simple. That is, you have a business plan as a company. Whatever is the plan that finally the management makes, to the extent it is well balanced between its key stakeholders, as well as long-term sustainability and success for the company, they would support it. We are thankful that today we have upwards of $1 billion of capital on our balance sheet with significant amount of runway. Our hope is we will use that to be able to not just see through the crisis, but also hopefully come out stronger on the other side, along with all the good work that our teams are doing on improving and building deep relationships with our partners and various other stakeholders.
So basically you're saying that SoftBank is very candid about the fact that they will be supporting the companies who plan to be there in the long run.
So I think, the company's plan is to be there and be not just be there, but also come out stronger on the other side. And I think all of our shareholders are supportive of it.
Okay. Ritesh, I also remember you being quoted by an international publication. You said that there was before WeWork and then there was after WeWork. Pre-WeWork, all our decisions were iconic. Later, it seemed easy to blame us for all we decided. Now, where is this blame coming from and how do you react to such allegations or situations?
Sure. First off, this was actually a two-paragraph conversation, of which this was the second paragraph's third line, which was quoted. So seeing this in full context would be helpful. But what I really want to make sure that basis this question I share is as under. I think being able to look at facts. So first off, I think critical feedback is something that OYO has always taken positive outcomes from. You've seen, Priyanka, that over the years, OYO has been appreciated very well as well as sometimes given very critical feedback. And at each point of time, we have taken appreciation as credit for OYOpreneurs and their efforts, and we have taken critical feedback as leadership feedback and tried to improve on top of it. So I want to make sure that none of this is thought of in the context of non-appreciation of critical feedback. We appreciate critical feedback now more than ever before, and 6 months before, significantly as well. The second bit, what I wanted to share is to be able to look at some of the data points about how OYO and specific companies perform and be able to use that as a lens to judge businesses. In my view, very few people see OYO with the context of saying in the history of the company until fiscal year ended 19, the total losses declared by the company is a little over $400 million. In that period of time, we delivered $951 million of revenue just in fiscal 19. That was a growth of around 4.5 times. We've delivered four straight years of net profit improvements as a percentage of revenue for our India business, which we do both issue to the regulators and upload in regulators' requirements separately, as well as issue separate transparent visibility of externally. OYO's leadership team is one of the most stable, which has stayed together for a long period of time. So I think being able to understand about a business is very critical as the judgment is made, is what I was trying to sort of communicate there.
Okay. You're saying that after WeWork, OYO has not been on a very judgmental paddle, because more so, a lot of the work, the way the, not the business model, but the way the work was done, and the fact that both of the companies are very close to SoftBank. So are you saying that there isn't a direct comparison that was made in the market?
Sure. Anybody with basic understanding of business numbers will understand very quickly that OYO has a unique business model, which is different from most companies, definitely different from, you know, any business that you are highlighting, and also different from standard online travel companies from which similarities were tried to be predicated upon a few years back. Let me use this also as an opportunity to explain a little bit about OYO's business model, because OYO's business model sometimes has been interpreted basis noise rather than the detailed true picture. While we do operate some of the other business models like that of providing minimum guarantees and various systems like those cannot be in any stretch of imagination be considered our core business. Our core business is to operate an asset-light chain of predictable, easy-to-book, low-cost accommodations globally, wherein on one side, we reach out to the small hotels and low-price hotels and unutilized vacation homes, and we make them into easily bookable quality living spaces. On the other side, for consumers, we provide a reliable, low-cost, easy-to-book, ubiquitous experience across the world. That's our proposition for our consumers and our partners. And we use various products right from on the consumer side, our applications, websites, OYO Rocket and various platforms. And on our supply side, OYO OS, Orbis and various platforms to be able to connect both of these key stakeholders so that they can get what we all want to create, which is a better quality of living space for the common man across the world.
Coming a little on the business side, I get to learn that you've never sold off a single share in OYO despite there have been multiple secondary rounds. What has been the reason behind that?
Let me first clarify, for any entrepreneur or business founder, being able to have significant long-term ownership is very critical in their underlying business. If you see some of the best entrepreneurs and operators across the world, that is one of the things they have been very, very focused upon to try and have the ownership, because they genuinely believe in the long-term success of their underlying business. Number two, I think I have always had significant belief in my underlying business. For instance, some part of my Thier Fellowship grants, I invested in the company, which I was supposed to receive back, and I sincerely requested all my shareholders to convert all of those also into shares, which I'm thankful that my shareholders agreed upon. This was back in the day during the Series A times when I still had some debt on me personally. So primarily because I've always believed in the long-term success of the business. My hope is to continue owning or not wanting to sell any of my shares, unless, of course, some part of that is needed for some of the financial commitments I would have to my stakeholders. But beyond that, I'm very confident of continuing to be a key shareholder and a critical partner for the long-term success of the company. I consider this a responsibility and a privilege for me to have this opportunity.
It's actually very rare to see somebody, I mean, this level of commitment, I would say, because even in India, we see that a lot of entrepreneurs and some very respectable and marquee ones, I wouldn't name them, but that's how they do their business. They would want to sell partial stake, even if not the entire amount of stake that they hold in the company. Don't you think that would also make sense if somebody were to sell off some amount of stake and hold the rest of it? Doesn't that make sense?
Absolutely.
Especially at a time when the valuation of the company is so good.
Yeah, look, I think I must share that any of the things that I have done should not be taken with a view of saying that anybody who sells secondary is bad. In fact, I have traditionally actually, you know, when entrepreneurs have asked me that if they should we sell some part of our secondary, I think I have said that a small part of the secondary as a sale actually may not be such a bad idea, primarily because some of that secondary sale provides the liquidity for the entrepreneur to be able to take longer term decisions, which is what is also, you know, being said by some of the leading Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. So I have just had a different personal view, but that should have no bearing on how various entrepreneurs make decisions, and none of that makes what other entrepreneurs make as decisions wrong.
Yeah, okay. You've also done something very differently as compared to any of the other entrepreneurs that we have in the domestic market currently. You borrowed $2 billion to invest into OYO in the previous round. Now, what was the rationale behind it, and how do you plan to repay that, especially at a time when the hospitality industry is facing one of its biggest existential crises in the world?
Sure. So first off, I would like to clarify. I raised $2 billion. It was a structured transaction, as a part of which I think I can share with you two important contexts. The first one is there has been some discussion of there being some margin loan, etc. I want to lay that to rest by clarifying that there is no, we are comfortable with any kind of risk and so on my personal ownership for the next few years, beyond, of course, the personal ownership that I also have in the company. Number two, I think I want to clarify the perspective of saying that this is an investment that I made with a very long-term view in mind rather than a short-term view in mind. So I am truly committed for the long-term outcome of this business, of being able to create a significant amount of impact. And given that, I feel, of course, for 2 quarters or 6 quarters, there may be some challenge due to the response of the COVID. But I believe that long-term, people need to travel for business. Young millennials want to see the world. I'm already seeing that the traffic for people searching for weekend getaways is probably at its highs in various parts of the world. That gives me the confidence that in the long-term, we are building a healthy, sustainable, strong business with a strong proposition for its customers and its partners. Due to that, I'm comfortable that in the long-term, this will be a very reasonable investment within the company, and I'm looking forward to it.
How is the repay structured? When it's a structured loan, it's a debt which has been taken in your individual capacity. So how does that shape up in the long run?
Sure. Look, I think as I have mentioned earlier, this is a structured transaction which involves multiple parties, and my requirements to all my stakeholders to not be very detailed in terms of what I share. All I can tell you is that for the interest of our stakeholders in the company, there is no pressure on any form of margin or so on that may come for the next few years. All of our stakeholders are comfortable and focused on the long-term success of OYO, and we continue being focused on being not just a long-term partner, but a long-term sustainable shareholder of the business beyond my earlier holding in the business.
All right, then, Ritesh, on that note, I would really wish you all the best to come out with flying colors, especially around the time we're living in. And I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us.
Thank you so much, Priyanka. As you know, this has been one of the sessions that I'm glad that it is almost like homecoming for me. After a long while, I get the opportunity to come and speak here. I want to end by definitely acknowledging, before coming here, I was speaking to a couple of our partners and they asked me to share about the work they're doing. So especially our teams are also very enthused about it. So let me use this opportunity to appreciate the work of our hotel partners like Deepak Rana, Raj Patel in the US, Park Yulbuchri in Indonesia, Dato Mahesh in Malaysia. These are owners, Priyanka, you'd be interested to know, who are giving free stays, free food, and a lot of similar support to frontliners, migrants, and others who are in need at this point of time. We at OYO, and I personally salute them for all the good work they're doing. With this, thank you so much, Priyanka, for having me over.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrolcom and @PriyankaSahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.